Shakespeare once allowed Juliet to ask, "What's in a name?" We'll discover through this series that names matter. Welcome to our Advent edition of Crosstalk. I'm Pastor Brian. A reading from Luke chapter 1. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, and to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all of our days." Zechariah was a righteous man. He longed for the day when the Messiah would come. He longed for the day when God would once again show his power. He longed for the day when God would break his centuries-long silence. Zechariah was on the lookout. He was on the lookout for God. Zechariah had had plenty of time to think about it. Certainly from boyhood, Zechariah would have known the prophets of old, who declared with great force and clarity that God would again visit his people, that God would again show his power, that God would again make good on his promise to be God to his people. But more than the prophets, Zechariah had about 9 months to ponder and to think in silence. You see, about 9 months earlier, Zechariah was serving in the temple. He was chosen to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And while he was in the holy place, an angel appeared to him proclaiming that his barren wife Elizabeth would conceive and give birth, and that this child would prepare the way, making the people ready for the coming of the Lord. Unable to comprehend what he was being told, Zechariah doubted and asked, "How can I be sure of this?" The angel Gabriel responds, "Because you did not believe my words, you will be silent until this happens." Let me ask you, what would you do if you couldn't talk for 9 months? How would you spend your silence? Zechariah longed for a day when the silence would be broken, when God would come in power. And as the birth of John grew closer, Zechariah's longing grew deeper. Here in Luke 1, John is born, and Zechariah's mouth is loosed to bring praise. Why? Because as Zechariah sings, "He has come to his people to redeem them." In other words, the time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. He is breaking the silence. He is coming again in power. He is once again taking up residence among his people. God is raising up a horn of salvation. Such a curious phrase, the horn of salvation. And this phrase is a throwback to King David in 2 Samuel 22, who after defeating the Philistines sang, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my shield and the horn of my salvation." Now at the time of David, the imagery was of the horn on an animal's head, which represented power and authority. And we've all seen pictures, right, of a big buck whose horns give them strength and power among the herd. Well, David and Zechariah sing of God as the power and strength for salvation. In other words, he's the one who gets it done. He's the one who has authority. He's the one who comes again. He's the one who breaks the silence. This time around, however, power will not be seen in strength of one's army or the overthrow of the current government. Power will be seen in the shadow of a blood-stained cross. Jesus bearing the weight of sin, that all might have salvation. Imagine the silence following the Dark Friday. Imagine the silence when the tomb slams shut. Imagine the silence. Will God show his power? Will God come again? Will God break the silence? Well, brothers and sisters, nothing breaks the silence like an empty tomb that ought to be filled. Nothing breaks the silence as a once dead but now living Christ. Nothing breaks the silence like Jesus. He is the horn of our salvation. You know, I remember scurrying around in my grandparents' basement, the world slowly passing its time up a couple flights of stairs. And there, between the shelves of pickled whatever, I found a case that begged to be explored. And when I opened it, there was a shiny brass trumpet. Because of the curiosity welling up within me, I took the horn upstairs and asked my grandpa if I could play it. He told me, sure, if you can play it, you can keep it. It took me several times of spitting just right until finally the silence was broken by sound. A note. A loud, unfiltered, powerful note that rang through the dry and quiet landscape of western Nebraska, and there something deep within my heart exploded. I wonder if I felt what Zechariah felt that day, a clear and vivid understanding that something was now different. God comes to us with power and strength. God comes to us breaking the silence. God comes to us in Jesus, who is the horn of our salvation. Here's a couple of questions to process. Talk about how many days you think you could remain silent. And two, in your own life of faith, talk about whether you're more likely to live in silence or to be a horn which breaks the silence. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are so thankful that you provide the one who breaks the silence, the one with power and authority, your Son and our Lord Jesus, who is the horn of our salvation, in whose powerful name we pray. Amen.